Hey y'all, I'm Kim, host of Book Marketing Mania, and I'm so thrilled you're tuning in to learn how to build an audience and market your book on podcasts. Today, my guest is Scott LaPierre, pastor and host of Scott LaPierre Ministries podcast, and he's the author of several self-published and traditionally published books, including Work and Rest, God's Way. Scott and I connected through the Podmatch service, and I couldn't wait to talk to him about his book writing and publishing journeys, how podcasting as a host and guest has helped him and can help you grow your author platform, his experience with Podmatch to market his books on other podcasts, and tips for us for avoiding workaholism while juggling work and family as an author. You are in for a treat today, so let's get to it. Scott, welcome to Book Marketing Mania. I'm so thrilled you're here to serve my listeners today.
Yeah, thanks, Kim. Really excited to be here and hopefully be of service to you and to them.
Yeah, I have no doubt through all of your experience and wisdom. So I just want to talk, Scott, first about your publishing journey or your book writing and publishing journey, because I know you have self-published books as well as traditionally published books. So you have lots of knowledge in this area. And will you just kind of walk us through how that journey got started and what kind of tips you can give to our listeners that are trying to figure out what journey is going to be best for them?
Yeah, great. So yeah. I write out my sermons as a pastor super thoroughly. And my wife was always telling me, hey, you know, she'd see how I'm laboring over these notes for them. And they're, you know, refining and polishing every week. So by the time I get up there and preach, I've got notes that are like, I don't want to say exactly like a chapter in a book, but can translate well into that.
Yeah.
So for years, Katie's like, hey, you need to be putting these sermons in books. And I never did it. And then finally, I preached a series on marriage at my church that went well, and I enjoyed it. And Katie said, look, this has to be it. You know, let's go on vacation and just give you the time you need. So that was the genesis of my book, Marriage God's Way. Completely oblivious. One other reason I put it off besides just being busy was I had no idea how to publish a book. I was so ignorant, to give your listeners some hope or encouragement. I thought I'd go to like Thomas Nelson's website or some publisher's website, give my manuscript. I didn't know, do I pay them some money to do this? Do they pay me, you know, or something? And of course, as most people learn quickly, every legitimate or traditional publisher of any size has that statement. We do not accept unsolicited manuscripts. So next it's like, well, what do I do? And I learned I need to acquire a literary agent. So I'm like, okay. So I sent out like, I don't know, 40, 50 query letters, just, and this is like a query letter. If they respond, that's not even acquiring a literary agent, as most of your listeners know. And so finally this one guy, and I can only guess, Kim, that maybe he saw my family, saw we had a bunch of kids and thought, you know, I feel sorry for this guy or something. So he sends me this message, super hard to hear this mess, read this, but super beneficial. And he says something like, you need to understand you're never going to get an agent, essentially. Say nothing about a book deal. And that sounds harsh, but it was great because it prevented me from continuing to beat my head against the wall for so many months. He said, you ought to self-publish. So I write back and I'm like, well, why exactly? I hate the word platform, but for lack of a better word, I assumed I had a decent one as a pastor. I had a few speaking engagements that were pretty small at the time. And he said, you don't understand. Publishers are not looking for individuals with hundreds. They're looking for individuals with thousands or tens of thousands. And I was like, oh boy. So that began. That's how I began my self-publishing journey. And I used KDP or the, you know, at that, I actually used CreateSpace. And now they've gone to KDP, which is better. And so I published Marriage God's Way, and it did surprisingly well. And I hope that might encourage your listeners. And I kind of against probably different things that I did, God allowed it to reach people. And at that time, I wasn't able to contrast that book with others because it was my first book. But I'll say this, that book sold more than probably most of my other books combined by like four or five times.
Wow.
One of the other things I've learned from publishers is they're going through some of the same stuff we are as self-publishers. They're kind of throwing stuff against the wall and trying to see what sticks. And I think they're surprised at times when things do stick. And I think they're surprised when things don't stick. It's like, think of the movie industry is similar. You know, why do they have box office bombs and lose hundreds of millions of dollars? Because they don't know. Why are they surprised when Top Gun Maverick makes a billion? Because they don't know. They're doing their best, just like we are. And so I was surprised that, let's say, stuck and did well. So I continue self-publishing, largely given up on the traditional publishing route. And then another author contacts me, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying self-publishing. I'm enjoying building my newsletter, just adding, you know, hundreds of subscribers over time. And I know some people have a bigger newsletter. Mm-hmm. Mine has over 15,000, but that's, you know, slowly every year, just adding a few more hundred or thousand to it through giveaways and promos and so forth. So then this author tells me, because that book allowed me to then, I started getting speaking engagements primarily for marriage. So I'm traveling around the country doing that, doing some homeschool conferences as well, because my elders give me 6 to 8 weekends per year to do this. And this author says, you know, you seem like you've got quite a bit of it going for you. I'd like to introduce you to a literary agent I know. And I said, you know, I was pretty content self-publishing, didn't see any downside to this. And he said, her name's Blythe Daniel. So I looked her up and she'd been literary agent of the year 1 year. And I really liked her. She had a heart for Christ. And so that was important to me. And so she said, I'd like to sign you. And so she signed me. So she puts a proposal together for me, which is what a literary agent, one of their main purposes is to help you do this well. And we go back and forth with that over some weeks or month. And then she sends it out to these publishers. And this is for my book. My brand is, you could say, God's Way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, marriage God's way, finances God's way, enduring trials God's way. And I'm looking to get published. Their pitch, Blythe is pitching Finances God's Way. That's going to be my next mm-hmm. book. And I was going to self-publish it, but then it's like, let's just see what happens to the publisher. So then you start getting no's. This is part of the process. Publishers are like, nope. And really, your readers should understand, it might have nothing to do with anything other than the fact that they published a finance book 3 months ago. You know, you're trying to publish this book and they've already got an author who's doing that well. And so it's actually not a reflection of your platform, your writing, anything other than they're secure in that area. Mm-hmm. So then Harvest House wrote back and they surprised me because they said, we do want to publish your finance book. We want to call it Your Finances God's Way. We've seen the numbers for your marriage book that impressed us, and we would like to republish your self-published book, Marriage God's Way, as Your Marriage God's Way. So,
yeah, I love that you brought up Blythe because she's an amazing agent. And I think just even figuring out the agent roles and who to go with and how they're going to support you can be kind of murky waters too, I bet. I'm so glad you talked through that. So I want to talk to you about podcasting, because I know as a pastor, you have these amazing sermons that you're putting on your own podcast. And how we connected, which I'm so thankful for, is the PodMatch service, so that you can connect with podcasters and podcast guests. And I'd just love for you to talk about that, how podcasting, both as a host and a guest, has helped you build your author platform.
Yeah, great question, Kim. So my situation might be a little different in that I'm preaching these sermons and our church does a good job of providing the audio and the video for that, but there wasn't really any place that the videos were going. And so I decided to just start a podcast and start a YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel has my sermons, my conference messages, my interviews. Like, if I'm interviewed, I'll add that person's video to my playlist. So they still get the views for it. But again, this is hopefully helping them reach a new audience too. Mm-hmm. And so my desire with my ministry, whether it's sermons or books, is to bless people, point them toward Christ, equip saints to serve the Lord better. And so we all have these different reasons that we do these things. Try to get as much mileage as you can out of all the work you're doing. Because there's so much work you're doing, you might as well get as much as you can from it. And so a podcast for me is one of those things. You're learning, you are meeting new people. There's ways you can serve them. They can serve you, whether you're being a guest or whether you're bringing people on. And so for me, if I'm already laboring over these sermons and then I'm preaching them, why not see if I can reach more people with them, whether through YouTube, through my podcast. I also add chapters of my books to my podcast. I think there's a lot of people who believe, well, if I put too much of my book out there, then people aren't going to want to buy it. That's just not the case. When you're putting your material out there, someone listens to a chapter, they say, oh, wow, this sounds great. I want to get the audiobook. Or, wow, this sounds great. I want to get the paperback. Or, wow, this sounds great. I like this author. I'm going to go see what else they have on Amazon. I cannot imagine anyone saying, oh, now I'm going to try to find all the different chapters to do that. So I would say,
instead of buying a $15 book,
if people are going to spend $20, they'll spend, I don't think people should price their books for this amount of money, but people will spend $30-$40 on a book if they're super blessed and encouraged and believe, you know, love it and, you know, feel like the pages turn themselves. And so that's not the $15 to $20 people are going to spend is not the issue. The issue is people finding you, finding your content. So put it out there the best you can. All over your website is like home base for you. One of the things I noticed, and this is sad, and I'm just thankful. I made a lot of mistakes. This is one that I fortunately didn't end up going through, and I wouldn't even call it a mistake, but there's a lot of people who've built their ministries or their author careers off Facebook, and then Facebook algorithms change and they lose like 90% of their attention or sales, or I mean, literally some authors losing 90% of their sales because they built off Facebook.
Yeah.
You need an author website that you own someplace on the internet that's yours. Nobody can touch it. Nobody can do anything with it. And that's where you want to build your authorship, build your writing journey on your own website. Sure, share stuff on social media. Mm-hmm. Most people find my site because they've searched for something. How do husbands love their wives? Or what does it look like, you know, for wives to respect their husbands? Or are we supposed to tithe today? These are the things people search for. Mm-hmm. And then they go to my site, they're reading my post, they see it's from a book, and then or they listen to the associated podcast, and they end up purchasing it as a result of that. But build your writing journey as much as you can on your own chunk of the internet that you own, that nobody else can change the algorithm, like on Facebook, mm-hmm. and then you lose everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's such great advice. And I think that's, you know, podcasts fit into that, because like you were saying, if we can pay attention, and I need to be better about this myself, just, you know, paying attention to what is it that your target audience is searching for. And if you're giving them their answer in podcast form or videos or your blog content, just making sure that you have those keywords in there, making sure everything kind of matches up so you can see some results. But let me ask you too, because we touched on this just a tad about how we connected. I'd just love to hear what your experience has been using the PodMatch service to connect to, you know, new podcast hosts that you didn't know before and reaching out to new audiences you haven't served before. Have you found that to be beneficial to you?
Yeah, absolutely. There's people I never would have been on their radar. They never would have been on my radar. And so there are some people that are, you know, just starting out, and this is a great way for them to meet new guests. And so I think it's been an incredible service. Some people called it, like someone said, it's like the speed dating of podcasting, you know? So yeah. Many people I talk to are like, you know, I'm already behind like so many episodes because I've had so many great guests to have on. And, and so it's just done a great job connecting people. You know, it's served as a wonderful hub, both for hosts and for guests. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's primarily been, you know, serving as a guest. And so I was happy to see you and I like to talk about this. And I don't have in my church, I tell my kids, I'm like, if you're talking to someone about something, it's like a game of catch, you know, and if they're not throwing it back, then they don't want to talk about that. So you need to find conversations or people, you know, talk about things that people are interested in. Well, book marketing, I don't know anyone in my church that wants to talk about books or marketing. So I found you, you know, we connect through PodMatch. And I thought that was really great, because it's nice to talk about something that I don't normally, you know, get to talk about with people. And I am passionate about it. It's an exciting area for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And after writing so many books and knowing publishing and marketing, it's like, I wish more authors would start talking about that, because that's what we need to hear, is like, you know, the been there, done that stories, or, you know, what's working for you today versus yesterday's stories. Well, let me ask you definitely about one of your books that I got, Your Work and Rest, God's Way, A Biblical Guide to Finding Joy and Purpose in All You Do. Because, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to turn to that on and on and on. But I want to ask you, Scott, just for our listeners that are kind of juggling writing and speaking and podcasting, you know, and books and marketing, but then also, of course, first and foremost, our families and taking care of that, and just kind of balance of, which I'm not sure if that's the right word to use, but the balance of, you know, work and rest. What kind of tips can you just share with us, some quick tips for our audience, so that, you know, we aren't spending too much work time and not enough rest, or vice versa, as we start, you know, wanting to reach more readers and share our God-given message?
Yeah. So I super appreciate the way that you worded that. And you talked about these different elements of our lives that we can be investing time and energy in. And so, you know, God forbid that I listened to a pastor one time. I can't remember his name. He was at a big conference with I was one of the thousands of pastors attending. They have this panel discussion, and these pastors were asked about their biggest regrets. And this one guy said it was neglecting his wife. Mm-hmm. And he built a huge ministry. But, you know, I would hope nobody wants to get to the end of their lives and say, well, oh yeah, I had a successful writing career. Oh, I was a successful speaker. Oh, I was a successful pastor. You know, this the huge church was built under my ministry, mm-hmm. but I had a horrible marriage, or my kids despise me because they feel like I chose the church over them. The simple answer to your question is we must prioritize. What are the things the Lord wants us doing? And then it's kind of like you got the jar, and first you put in, you know, the marbles, then you put in the rice, then you put in the sand, then you put in the water, right? And so for me, first and foremost, God wants me to be a wonderful husband to Katie. And then second, father to 9 kids with a 10th that's going to be born in October. Mm-hmm. Third, pastor. And then author comes in fourth. And after these first three, there's not much room for writing. Mm-hmm. So the main reason I've written the books that I don't have the bandwidth even to write separately from my preaching. So if you see one of my books, I preached on every single thing in that book. Mm-hmm. And if there's something I need in that book, then I preach on it so that I can put it in the book, because I can't do these separately.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
For me, I take the sermons and then they become books for me. Anyway, that you've got to prioritize. What does the Lord want you doing? Do that as well as you can. And there's always going to be the, you know, like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. I believe that if we go through life doing what God wants us to do, he's going to pick up the tab, you might say, and which means provide the time, energy, resources, money for us to do it. And he's going to give us those things that he wants us doing. And so there are some things that I would like to do or like to do more that I don't, because I don't want to neglect my wife, my kids, my church. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I love writing. I'd love to do more of it, but I fit it in when I have the time, and I don't have that much time, you know, every week, especially as my family's getting older. And so I would encourage all of your listeners to figure out what are those things, priorities, prioritize their lives, you know, talk to your spouse, have honest, difficult conversations with your kids and say, do you, like just this morning, one of my daughter, Ruby, I was holding her, you know, I said, I love you very much. Do you know daddy loves you? And she said, yeah. And so talk to your kids and say things and say, do you feel like I'm making enough time for you? Do you feel like I'm available? I have an office at home. So I try to turn from my computer, sometimes even close it, turn and look at my child so they feel invested in. And so none of us want to get to the end of our lives with those regrets, right? Mm-hmm. And feel like, oh, I wish I would have spent more time, not neglected my family. And so that requires, it's opportunity cost. Saying yes to one thing means saying no to something else. So in Work and Rest God's Way, I discuss this intense balance that all of us, I bet all of your listeners, I don't really know lazy authors. Mm-hmm. Authoring is just a career for hardworking people, you know, because anyone that's lazy doesn't write anything. Mm-hmm. If they're lazy, they'll never have a book. They're not going to listen, and they're not going to take the extra step to learn by going to great podcasts like this to hear about mm-hmm. marketing. So I know your listeners are all working super hard. And so there's also the importance of rest. Mm-hmm. Do you want to have a heart attack before you're 50, right? Okay, you wrote the best-selling book, but then you weren't even around for your family. You know, you couldn't even enjoy it because you're so unhealthy and your blood pressure is super high and you're mm-hmm. wearing yourself out and you're putting this wear and tear on your heart and your body. So rest is a super important part of God's design for our lives to remind us of our weakness and our need for him, and that we're frail people. We get sick, we get injured. And so we rest to recuperate and then go at it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such great advice. And I know you have a chapter in the book about workaholism that I think that drew my eyes right away, because I can be guilty of that. And but I love that, you know, you talk about, you know, I think about with old school bloggers, and people are still blogging, obviously. But I think we forget sometimes that, like, we have all this content. Like you said, you're a pastor, you have sermons every single week. So why would you not just repurpose that, you know, put it on your podcast, put it on videos, and then use that content to put into a book? And I think we sometimes forget that, like, what, you know, all these years we might have been blogging, we have all this great content that could be put into a book or just put it on a podcast, and you have instant, you know, content to talk about versus having to rack your brain and think of, you know, new things. And like you said, if you're wanting to write about something, well, you're going to go, you know, speak to your congregation about it first, and you know, just let God speak through you that way. And then you'll be able to use it in another way versus like, how do I write a book from scratch on this material? But which parenting, oh my gosh, we can't wait for that book, Scott. Whenever you get through it, you can tell us all about that. But anyway, I love how you, of course, talk about your wife and you're putting your marriage in such a priority. And I know you have a free gift you wanted to share with our listeners. So I'd love for you just to talk about that. And then also let our listeners know where they can connect with you online, because I'm sure many of them would love to do that.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Kim. So I pushed having your website as your hub. Mm-hmm. You know, everything goes out from there. And for me, that's scottlapierre.org. You know, my name, just scottlapierre.org. And you'll put the link in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And from there, people can find my books, my podcast, my blog, everything. And I have a free gift. My desire primarily is to point people toward Christ and to strengthen marriages. And so it's called 7 Biblical Insights for Marriage. It's a short read. You can get that for free when you go to my website.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's very generous of you, Scott. Well, thank you for your time and serving our listeners today. I know they will love this episode, and I greatly appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, Kim. Thanks for all you're doing for me and for other authors. God bless you and your listeners.
Oh, y'all, I so appreciate Scott's insights. Be sure to check him out online at all the links here in the show notes. And if you're thinking of pitching a traditionally published book, be sure to check out episode 18 with literary agent Barb Roos. And if you too want to connect with podcast host as a guest, be sure to check out the Podmatch service at the link in the show notes. You will love it. Thanks for tuning in today. And as always, I'll be there for you to help you build your audience and market your book one podcast at a time. See you then.